Hello, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Robert Arneson of The Western Producer, your host for this week's show. African swine fever has arrived in the Americas. In late July, news broke that African swine fever was detected in pig herds in the Dominican Republic. ASF, as it is known, can quickly devastate a hog herd, in some cases killing 90 to 100% of the animals in a herd. This week, we'll talk to a vet and a representative of the Canadian Pork Council to learn how the outbreak in the Dominican could impact the $20 billion pork industry in Canada. Also, we'll hear from Western producer editor Mike Rain to get his thoughts on the Western Canadian drought and the damage done to prairie crops.
Part of being a farmer is being an accountant and a mechanic and a chemist. You have lots on the go. So FarmLink makes your grain marketing go further. We help you reach your financial goals with calculated sales decisions. No bias, just solutions and results. Plus, with our new app, GrainFox, we bring every opportunity right to your fingertips. Literally. Start seeing the returns that'll get your family ahead. You've earned it. FarmLink. Your work is worth more. Get started at farmlinksolutions.ca.
African swine fever is something that keeps hog farmers and pork industry leaders awake at night. In 2018 and 19, the deadly virus decimated China's pork sector, possibly wiping out 50% of the country's pig herd. ASF is now in Germany and is endemic in much of Eastern Europe. Last week, it was found in the Dominican Republic, and that brings ASF much closer to the United States and Canada. Join us now to talk about African swine fever and what Canada is doing to prevent an outbreak of the virus is John Ross, Executive Director of the Canadian Pork Council. Hey, John, thanks for coming on Between the Rows. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Robert. I appreciate the opportunity.
So news broke last week that African swine fever was detected in the Dominican Republic. This was big news for the pork industry right across North America. What does this all mean for the pork industry here in Canada?
Well, certainly, Robert, I guess first and foremost, our hearts go out to Dominican producers that find themselves with ASF. It's not a position we would trade with anybody, but you know, when we turn our attention to here in Canada, it's certainly cause for concern that we see African swine fever in the Western Hemisphere, I think probably for the first time in 40 years. And obviously, you know, our concern has always been around African swine fever, the impact it would have on our exports. But when we have more virus circulating, more African swine fever virus circulating in the just in the general environment, and then again, just that little bit closer to home than where we've seen it before, that's what causes us the biggest concern.
So already African swine fever is in Eastern Europe, it's in Germany, it's all over Asia. How would African swine fever get from, say, the Dominican Republic to Ontario or southern Manitoba? Like, how would that transmission happen?
The route that we worry about the most is illegal meat imports. We certainly do not import any pork or pork products from the Dominican, but there is travel between the two countries, and I think when we look at the Dominican, we probably need to cast our gaze on the entire Caribbean. It's a small geographic area, you know, lots of trade between the Caribbean nations. Similar probably status in terms of animal health and animal health infrastructure. So we would worry about illegal imports coming out of the Caribbean region and into Canada. Now, summertime here, COVID obviously in play, our travel into those southern destinations is not what it will be when you think about wintertime. But more than a few of us have been down there for a bit of a winter holiday. So right now, not a lot of travel, but obviously the threat would increases as the travel increases.
So can you just remind me why African swine fever is so concerning for hog producers? Like, what can it do to, you know, a hog herd in Canada if it were to get into, you know, a barn?
Well, it's first and foremost, not a disease, not a food safety concern. So from the perspective of providing high-quality pork to our customers, African swine fever, not a food safety concern. What it is an animal health concern. And it is a disease that, while it spreads, probably not quite as easily as another disease such as foot and mouth disease, it does spread between farms if you're not paying attention. And it is lethal to pigs. The mortality rate is very, very high, and there's no vaccine. So you don't sort of get to vaccinate your way out of this mess if you do get into it. So those would be the biggest concerns. The biggest impact on the herd, of course, is that pigs die.
So the mortality rate might be like 50% in some cases, or how severe
is it?
It'd
probably push higher than that.
Higher.
You might see cases where it got over up towards 90.
Wow.
It's a significant disease. If it gets into your herd, you've got large problems.
So Canada's pork industry has been preparing for ASF, but, you know, still there's always unknowns. You don't know what's going to happen if it arrives here. I guess one of the big questions is, what would happen to Canada's pork exports if it was detected in, say, a barn in Southern Ontario or Alberta someplace? Like, would we still be able to export pork?
Yeah, well, to your first point, Robert, we've certainly been working on African swine fever probably the better part of 3 years for now. And it is a very much a priority, not only for the industry, but also for government, both federal and provincial governments. And we're seeing we've seen a lot of the results of that work in play now. So, for example, when the Dominican announced that it had found African swine fever in its domestic population, the Canadian Border Service Agency, the Canada Border Service Agency, had already had the flights coming out of Dominican on their watch list. So, Border Service officers paying a little bit more close attention to incoming travelers, the dog teams being targeted against those flights. So all of those steps, you know, reflects that good work that's been done over the last 2 or 3 years. And of course, you know, to your point, why we're really concerned is we expect fully that if we were to, you know, break with African swine fever in Canada, that we would, at least on a temporary basis, lose our export markets. And for Canada, we export, you know, 70% of what we produce. We are exporting live animals to the United States, and they go every day. It's not like, you know, they can be stored or set aside. So given that flow of pork, 70% of what we produce, pork and pigs, immediate exports every day, if we close that border, even for a short period of time, it causes tremendous, tremendous disruption in the marketplace.
So just to clarify on that. So let's say there's a scenario where it's in a barn in southeastern Manitoba. Why couldn't exports continue from Ontario? Because, I mean, obviously everybody knows Ontario is a long way from southern Manitoba, right?
It is a long way from southern Manitoba, although we're quite frankly, we are moving hogs from eastern Canada into western Canada as we speak.
Okay.
But the issue and you know, what we have to be able to demonstrate in order to restart that trade from a particular part of Canada, and what you're referring to there is zoning,
right,
is that we have to be able to demonstrate to our trading partners that, one, we know exactly where this disease is, and two, we're taking the measures to eradicate.
Okay.
So in order to demonstrate where the disease is, you are dependent on the quality of your surveillance system, and you're dependent on your traceability system. And if both of those things are working well, we should be able to quickly identify where the disease is, and more importantly, where it's not. Okay. Launch the eradication of the disease right away, and then hopefully we'll be able to restart the trade from areas where the disease isn't.
Okay.
The way to do it as fast as possible is to have these zoning agreements in place in advance. And we have them in place with the United States, we have them in place with the European Union, and we have them in place with Singapore, and we're negotiating with other countries as we speak.
All right.
We've seen how it works when Germany broke. Germany broke with African swine fever. The way that their, you know, their veterinary, their animal health infrastructure was set up in Germany, they could rapidly, and I do mean rapidly, over the course of a weekend, demonstrate to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency they had this under control. They knew where it was. They knew it was not in the commercial population, and this is why they knew all that. And trade essentially continued uninterrupted.
Okay.
That's where we want to be.
Okay.
Now, again, comes back to where the break is, how hard it is to run it down, make sure you can demonstrate, all of those sorts of things come into play, but you're hopeful that you'll be right back into the market as quickly as possible.
All right.
But you will note that I didn't talk about any markets in Southeast Asia or Asia. No China, no Japan, Vietnam, Philippines, and all of those markets are critical to Canada. We really do not have those zoning agreements in place today. So now if you started from scratch, it may take you a longer period of time to get back in.
Okay. One more question for you, John. I'll let you go. Is there a long-term solution for African swine fever? Is there a vaccine on the horizon? What are you expecting?
I don't know if there's, I mean, the virus itself is very, very hard to figure out a vaccine for. And there's been obviously tremendous effort globally to come up with a vaccine against African swine fever and not had much success to date. So I quite frankly don't pin my hopes on it. I think the solution is in two different spaces. One, your biosecurity needs to be running at 100%. And that's biosecurity at the border. So all the good work done by the Canada Border Service agencies, they have the right dog teams, are their staff trained? You know, can they do those risk assessments on where the most likely points of infection might come from? All of those things at the border. Have you got your border secure? And then secondly, do we have our farms secure? So biosecurity in our farms, because if it does get in Canada, we do not want to spread it around the country. So biosecurity on our farms, very, very important. And not only the commercial farms, but our small lot farms as well. So these guys with 2, 3, 4 pigs, they need to be well aware of their responsibilities and on board with this biosecurity. So I think that's a big chunk. I think we need to make sure that we eliminate as many risks as we can. And so we think about wild pigs in Canada. They need to be eradicated.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
And we need to get on with that. And last but not least, we got to be ready to respond if we do break so that we can mitigate that hit.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time out of your day, John. I've been speaking with John Ross, Executive Director of the Canadian Pork Council. Thanks for your time, John. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robert.
Since African swine fever is a virus, a vaccine could be a simple solution to protect pigs from ASF. Unfortunately, African swine fever is complex, and developing a vaccine is not a simple task, says Egan Brockoff, a veterinary counselor for the Canadian Pork Council. I spoke with Egan earlier this week. Hey Egan, thanks for coming on Between the Rows. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today.
So, I spoke earlier with John Ross of the Canadian Pork Council, and he provided an overview of some of the issues around African swine fever. I'm hoping you can talk about some of the more technical scientific issues, such as vaccines. So what goes through my mind as a layperson is, well, why don't we just come up with a vaccine, and then that'll solve the African swine fever problem in pigs? But I'm guessing it's not that simple?
Unfortunately, it's not that simple. And there's a couple sides to that story. Pardon me. First and foremost, this is a really complicated virus. It's a virus that has been extremely difficult for scientists and veterinary professionals around the world to come up with effective vaccines. There has been a global effort to come up with effective vaccines, and that has proven itself to be quite a challenge. So first and foremost, we have a technology, a scientific challenge with just creating a safe and effective vaccine. That's a big barrier in front of us today. We have seen experimental vaccines used in the world. We have actually seen illegal vaccines used in the world. And in many cases, those vaccines have caused more trouble, have done more harm than done good with controlling the disease. So that's the first real challenge. And that is a great big technical challenge, okay, if you will. The second challenge we face is none of these vaccines are marker vaccines. So if we start using a non-marker vaccine in Canada or the United States, if we start using those vaccines, when we do blood testing on those pigs, we can't tell whether that pig has antibodies because of exposure to the virus in the field in a wild situation. Mm-hmm. Or we can't tell if those antibodies were generated from the vaccine.
So this is to stop you. A marker, yep, in the vaccine is sort of a signature saying that these antibodies were produced by a vaccine. Is that what a marker is?
Yeah. So we, with some vaccines, we can add a marker to the vaccine that creates a specific type of immune response. And that immune response has a marker in it that we can identify. And that unique marker will say, yes, this pig has antibodies to African swine fever, but it also has antibodies to this marker. And so we know that this infection was likely derived from vaccination,
okay,
versus wild type exposure. And so because Canada wants to resume trade of pork products as soon as possible, vaccination could complicate things.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so that's a really, really big obstacle.
Okay.
And maybe a third component to this whole thing from a scientific point of view. African swine fever is not a very infectious virus. It's a slow-moving virus. And so we believe that with all the work we have done, we believe based on our experiences with what's happened in the European Union, that we can contain the virus without having to use tools such as vaccination. And that's also a really important part of the discussion.
You've been listening to Egan Brockoff, a veterinary counselor with the Canadian Pork Council. In July, the city of Winnipeg recorded only 8.5 millimeters of rainfall, the lowest amount on record for the month of July. That piece of weather data is just one of many records that will likely be broken this summer in the prairie drought of 2021. Mike Rain, editor of the Western Producer, joins us now to talk about the drought and what we should expect in a couple of weeks when combines start rolling across Western Canada. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on Between the Rows. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Robert. It's a great opportunity to have a chat and get caught up with what's happening out there in Western Canada right now.
So as we both know, the dominant story in Western Canada this summer has been the drought. But when I look at some of the numbers, some of them are just so head-spinning that it's kind of hard to process this information. Like, for example, you know, just recently it came out that Winnipeg received all of 8.5 millimeters of rain in July, you know, which is insane, seeing how Eastern Manitoba is like a wetter part of the prairies, right? So maybe this is a situation where we won't understand how severe the drought of 2021 is until maybe like 6 months or a year from now when we can go through all the data. Is that how you see it?
Definitely. No, I think when we look back at droughts of the past, we're looking back on statistical information. So that means we need a little bit of time and some proper measurement and to get a look at the prairies as a whole, because there's, you know, farmers went out and seeded about 65 million acres or so, and that's a fairly vast space to be spreading things out over. So I think we will know this a lot better later on, but we can speculate on it now too.
Okay. So what are some of the numbers that jump out for you? Like, what are some of the areas that are especially dry or have been especially hot? Like, what data have you seen?
Oh, I've definitely seen some hot and dry stuff. Southern Manitoba, parts of it are both hot and dry. Now, it's typically Southern Manitoba does a little better when it comes to moisture than a lot of the prairies, and it's been dry, especially in July. We're really in a mode of weather where we're getting, I mean, we're subject to showers. We haven't seen a lot of big systems come through since June, and maybe the middle of June at that. So we're having to live on what anybody can get. So if daytime heating and a little bit of pent-up moisture here and there that can be extracted from the system comes into play, well, somebody might get the odd shower here and there, and their crops, you know, might have come through okay, depending on what kind of land they're in, whether it's heavier or lighter. So this is this one, though, this will be tough to measure. There's gonna be some good and some bad and some really ugly out there. I mean, you look back in time and you say, well, you know, 61, 88, 2002, 3, those stand out. But this will definitely be up there in terms of the record books, I'm sure.
So let's just look south of the border for a second. So this morning I looked at a wheat progress report for North Dakota. And surprisingly, the spring wheat harvest is already underway in North Dakota, which is, you know, very early, which because we're only in the first few days of August here. And there's a crop survey down there that suggests the average yield for spring wheat will be maybe 29 bushels per acre. What's your sense of what that means for wheat yields in Saskatchewan and other parts of the prairies? Do you think we'll be in a similar situation?
The Dakotas, especially North Dakota, and parts of eastern Montana, got hit especially hard by a lack of moisture this season. There are parts of definitely parts of Saskatchewan, southern Alberta, and southern Manitoba that have pockets that'll. I mean, 29 these days is a tough number to swallow. I know in '88, I think after all was said and done, I think the average was 21 on spring wheat. It was 2002, it was 21. In 88, it was down around 13 or 14 bushels. So times have changed a lot since those years. So the expectation is that a 29 is probably just as much damage as we might have seen with a 13 or 14 or a 21 in those years. So... yeah, 29 for some of the wheat crops I've seen are probably in the 30 bushel range, maybe a little bit more, but it'll be similar to North Dakota, I think, in the worst of it.
Okay, as you know, and as a Western Producer reporter, you know, there's some forecasts, some estimates starting to come out about canola yields and wheat yields, and you know, for example. In Alberta, I've heard numbers like maybe 25 bushel acre average for canola, maybe a bit higher in Saskatchewan. As it stands right now, what does your gut and your experience tell you? Do you think that maybe the crop might be a little bit more resilient? I'm talking about canola now. The crop might be a little bit more resilient and we might do a little better than those numbers, or what are you feeling?
The crops, the canola that got in very early, and there was some, I mean, we had an open spring, and even though we had some frost and some reseeding in some places, for those places where the reseeding took place after the frost, it's going to be tough. I've seen some of it, you know, it looks like 15 bushels, might be a number that wouldn't be that surprising. It's good that the price is as high as it is. That'll help pad that a little bit. I know producers will be looking at the lost opportunity there, but at least there's it'd be at $20, it's a heck of a lot better than if it was at $10 a bushel or less. So these are, there are also crops that look pretty good. I had a firsthand experience with some crops south of Regina. While there is some pretty rough looking canola, there's also some that looks pretty good. Some of the canola in central and southern Manitoba is not too bad. Is it more than our 33 to 35 bushel averages overall? No, but it 30 bushel crops are probably possible there. And there's some in Manitoba and some in Alberta that looks okay this year. Again, some looks awful. So it'll be a mix for each province, I think, when we're looking back on this, sometime next spring, when we have all the data in and we've got a really good handle on what happened. There are some higher prices to help buffer this, but that won't make the medicine go down any easier, I don't think.
Okay, Mike, last one for you. You know, in the past, we've done some stories about canola and the need for better heat tolerance, so traits within the canola plant that can allow it to withstand, a 32 degree day and warmer nights. Do you get the sense that this is going to become more urgent for the canola industry to kind of really find some of these traits quickly?
Absolutely. It's been one of the holy grail, or the bits of the holy grail anyway, the pieces that are needed to actually make sure that canola has the resilience. Temperatures, we've seen some pretty hot seasons recently, and we've seen some extended growing seasons. The opportunities with canola, the upside to canola is definitely there. The ability for canola to withstand heat blasting, I have to say it's been in recent years, and I saw some this year that had seen some early heat in June, and these were hot days and hot nights. The plants didn't get much of a break, and they came through it really well. So I think we are part way there. We're seeing plants that are probably more resilient, better roots, better ability to tap into to moisture and nutrients a little further down. That probably helps. Better canopies that help deflect some heat and hold some moisture in there. I mean, there's all in all, the genetics that are there right now are definitely serving producers very well compared to previous droughts. Is there room to build in more tolerance? Absolutely. That we've got plenty of examples of heat blasts where the plants were suffering for soil moisture, and it's blasted and it looks pretty rough. So are the genetics partway there? Yes, but that's one of the important bits and pieces for plant breeding in the near future is to make it possible, make it more possible. Because right now, a year like this, I mean, the heat has entered the canola belt. It's definitely up in, north of Saskatoon, and you can draw a line from Winnipeg to Edmonton and say, that belt north of there, there's a lot of injured crop. There's a lot of heat came through and not much rain. So in that area, they'll definitely be calling for a more resilient canola than they've had access to in the past, and it's not something breeders haven't been working on and companies haven't been looking at, but the call will be there too. If we're going to be able to make the most of this crop, if we're going to be able to take advantage of all the future crushing capacity that seems to be showing up in Western Canada, we're going to need to help to stabilize this, no matter what comes, whether we get a dry year, a very hot year. It's going to be a necessity to make that industry work.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I've been speaking with Mike Rain, editor of the Western Producer. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm Robert Arneson of the Western Producer. Thanks for listening.
part of being a farmer is being an accountant and a mechanic and a chemist. You have lots on the go. So FarmLink makes your grain marketing go further. We help you reach your financial goals with calculated sales decisions. No bias, just solutions and results. Plus, with our new app, GrainFox, we bring every opportunity right to your fingertips. Literally. Start seeing the returns that'll get your family ahead. You've earned it. FarmLink. Your work is worth more. Get started at farmlinksolutions.ca.